and welcome to God's Word is Truth, the radio ministry of Providence Reformed Church, Vermilion, South Dakota. We live in a day when many church members don't hunger for the faithful preaching of God's Word, a day when many who call themselves Christians would rather be entertained on Sunday morning than hear the faithful preaching of God's Word. The truth really doesn't matter to many people today. Many church members ask, how does it make me feel or does it work? But seldom do they ask if it's biblical. That's why there's so much distortion in worship, doctrine, and living in the Christian church today. What about you? Do you hunger for God's Word? Do you realize how important preaching the truth of God's Word is in the life of the church? It's the gospel message that the Spirit of God uses to convert the souls of sinners and translate them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. Do you believe the gospel? Listen for the next 15 minutes to God's Word is Truth and hear what God says to us from His infallible and errant inspired Word. At the end of today's program, information about God's Word is Truth will be made available. This portion of 1 John chapter 2, you see that John is writing to the children of God, and he's encouraging them in their godly walk. You know, there is so much that happens in this world that discourages us. There's so much that happens in our own lives dealing with sin that brings great discouragement to our hearts. And John's purpose is to encourage the children of God to keep on walking that walk of faith, keep on looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ, recognizing what God has done for us in His Son Jesus Christ. He wants us to know as believers that we are those that are faithful to confess our sins to the Lord. And when we confess, He wants us to know that God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. You know, it's inevitable in this life that we are going to sin. Even though that we do not have to sin, we are so weak in and of ourselves, we are so immature in our Christian walk, that undoubtedly we give in too easily to the sin. We don't resist it. We don't stand against it. And John wants to speak to us and tell us that we have an advocate with the Father. When that happens in the life of the believer, look at 1 John chapter 1, you'll remember these verses. It says in verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. You see, the grace of God that has appeared to all men, the person and the work of Jesus Christ, teaches us that we are to live righteously, soberly, and godly in this life. And so if your life is one that is contrary to what God commands in His Word. Now, I'm not talking about perfection here. The perfection that we have is positional in Jesus Christ, by which, through faith, we are declared righteous and holy in the sight of God. I'm talking about our practical life as we are working out what God is working in. As we are working out our salvation with fear and trembling. Not working for our salvation, working it out. In other words, we're living the life. We're living as believers in this world. And we struggle at times in that Christian life. But nevertheless, we are those that repent. We are those that confess to the Lord. We are those that stay on the straight and narrow. For this is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But if we say that we have fellowship with Him, and we live a life of darkness, you're a liar. You cannot live in an unbroken pattern of sinful behavior, a lifestyle that is contrary to the will and to the Word of God, and think that you're a believer. The Holy Spirit brings His children to repentance. Those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. I'm going to tell you a fearful thing. The most fearful position that a church member can be in, one who professes Jesus Christ but walks in darkness, is if they can continue in that habitual lifestyle pattern of dark living, they demonstrate themselves not to be children of God, but to be children of the devil. Because Hebrews 12 tells us that God disciplines His own. You cannot continue. I mean, even David went for a time, didn't he, in his sin with Bathsheba, and then in conspiring to have Uriah murdered. But God came to him, and God drove him to repentance,
And so he does with all of his children, because if God does not discipline you, the writer of the Hebrews said, you are illegitimate. You're not a son, because God disciplines his children. Verse 7, and we walk in the light as he is in light. We have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Christ, present tense, the blood of Christ, continually cleanses us from all sins. We are under the blood of Jesus Christ. We are under the grace of God in Jesus Christ. We are in the love of God in Jesus Christ. We are in the blessings of God in Jesus Christ. We are in the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And that's a continual operation in the life of the believer. So if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. But notice what the believer does. We confess our sins. Present tense, continually confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you say you have no sin, you make him a liar. And the truth is not in you, because God has declared that we have all sinned. All the saints, from the book of Genesis to Revelation, you will find that they have all fallen short of the glory and the honor and praise of God. They have all sinned in thought, word, and deed. And beloved, in and of ourselves, we are worthy and deserving of damnation. But notice this, we are not in and of ourselves. We belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And John says in verse 1 of our text, notice this, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. He's writing to us that we may not sin. In other words, we have the ability by the working of the Holy Spirit to avoid sin. We have the ability to do the right thing rather than the wrong thing. You remember that 1 Corinthians 10, that no temptation has overtaken us except that which is common to man. But the Lord is faithful, who will always provide a way of escape that we might be able to bear up under it. He always provides a way that we can do that which is right and pleasing and honorable to Him. God provides that. We don't always take it, but God provides that. You cannot blame God for your sin. You must blame yourself for your sin. And that's what James says. You know, sin happens because of the desires of our heart, and we're enticed by those desires when the temptation comes. And if we're weak at that point, we give in to the temptation. God does not sin. God cannot be tempted. Neither does He Himself tempt any man with sin. But the sin comes about because of the own inclination of our hearts. And so we need to be a people that recognize this. The things that John writes, he writes that we may not sin. And he says, if anyone sins. Now, this is an interesting, it's in the aorist tense. It's a third class conditional statement in the Greek text, which simply means that it's something that actually is the possibility of occurring. So if we sin, what he's saying there, you're going to sin. You're going to give in to temptation. But you need to know something. You have an advocate. This is the great hope and the joy of the believer, is that we have an advocate. He says, if anyone sins. Now, what is sin? Sin is defined in Scripture, and we find this in 1 John 3, verse 4. Sin is lawlessness. Lawlessness is rebellion against the law of God. It's rebellion against the statutes, the precepts, the standards, the commandments, the word of the true and living God. That's what sin is. Sin is, as the Westminster Confession states, sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. Want is an old English word. It simply means a lack of conformity to the law. It's not doing what God says in His Word, and it's transgressing and going beyond what God says in His Word. In other words, thou shalt not, and you do it anyway. Beloved, if we think that that sin of wanting to be our own God is not in us, we're deceiving ourselves. We walk by faith. you make a new driveway or a sidewalk, and you put up a little barrier around it, and you pour the cement, and then you go away and you let it dry, and you come back the next day, what do you find in the cement? You find little handprints, Joey. You find footprints. You find somebody's name. Right? Because the law incites that in us. Somebody says, thou shalt not, and you say, I do what I want. You children, you know this. You do this with your parents. Your parents will tell you, don't do this or do this. And you say in your heart, I'm going to do what I want. And then you lie about it and you go ahead and do it. And then you tell your parents, oh, I did it. And you didn't do it. That's what happens. And that needs to be restrained in all of our lives. Sin is a vicious thing. It's a missing of the mark. Harmantano is the Greek term here. And it simply means missing the mark. There is a sin mark. Used to be used in archery, where you would shoot for the bullseye, and the distance from where your arrow was to the bullseye was called the sin mark. And you know what? None of us have hit the bullseye. Christ alone has done that. And that's the positional righteousness we have, but we have all fallen short of that. And so this is what John says. We have an advocate. You're going to sin. You're going to deal with the lust of the eyes, the lust of flesh, and the pride of life. You're going to deal with things in your life. Now, as believers, as we mature, what happens is you don't do the sins that you once did when you were younger. But you might speak them. You might not speak them like you did once you were younger, but you think them. You might not think them like you did when you were once younger, but they're still in your mind. And these are things that we need to repent of and recognize that it's God who provides for us the satisfaction for our sins. The wrath of God is what's deserving to sinners. If you are not in Christ, and God exacted His wrath upon you, could you complain that you got exactly what you deserve? You see, our complaint when you go somewhere and you don't think that they have given you what you deserve, you cry out for justice, don't you? Give me what I deserve. What is right. Give me justice. Well, that might work in an earthly situation, in the earthly realm, as humans among humans. But don't ever cry out for justice to God. Because if God gives you justice, you go to hell. That is what we have earned, beloved. That is the justice of God. We have fallen short of His honor and glory, and we are deserving of hell. And if you ask for justice, you get exactly what you deserve, and the wages of sin is death. Don't ever ask God for justice. We need mercy. We need all the mercy from God. And this is what He gives to us through His Son.
God's Word is Truth is a listener-supported broadcast, and therefore we count on your financial support to help keep this program on the air. So if you've been edified by what you've just heard, would you please consider faithfully supporting us by your financial gifts? Any amount of support would be greatly appreciated. If you'd like more information about Providence Reformed Church, please visit us on the web at www.providencercus.com. There you'll find our contact information if you'd like to leave us your feedback or donate to our ministry. We'd also like to extend an invitation to all who are listening to this program to come worship with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 830 Madison Street, Vermilion, South Dakota. Our Sunday school begins at 9:30 a.m. and our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m. God's Word is Truth is a ministry of Providence Reformed Church, Vermilion, South Dakota, and we thank you for your support and pray that the Lord will richly bless you as you walk by faith in Jesus Christ, for He truly is the only hope of the nations.